And are we doing this because of the Dead Don't Die? Or, yeah. Okay, I wasn't sure if that was that.
It was either this or favorite Jim Jarmusch movies.
Yeah, this is probably a better idea. Ready to go? What's up? This is Movies on Up, the road to survival. Could be a dead end. The road to my co-host is a short one. It's right across from me. That's where it ends.
The
with
intimate
Mr.
office of my new house.
Exactly. That is Mr. Dave Bacella. He is my co-host. I am Ryan. We are Movies on Up. The road to survival could be a dead end is our tagline for this week. If you think you know what movie that comes from, send your guess to us in one of the following ways. You can email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guess on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or you can tweet your guess to us @moviesonup on the Twitter if you are correct. And if we choose you, the road to a prize package will end at your mailbox. This week, Jim Jarmusch comes to theaters with a seemingly much anticipated zombie movie. Maybe it doesn't deliver on that from some of the stuff I've been reading. The Dead Don't Die, starring an absolute ton of people, Adam Driver and Bill Murray specifically. And Bill Murray's a guy that we like an awful lot of his movies, or a fair amount of his movies we like an awful lot. Maybe that's a more fair thing to say. And he's a guy that comes up on the podcast an awful lot. But we have never done a Bill Murray episode. So we thought this would be an okay time.
I think a lot of it was we haven't really had an opportunity to do a favorite Bill Murray episode. But I think it was one that we were kind of dreading.
Yes.
Because we know what our code number one would be. But Right. Then how do you rank Bill Murray movies? Because the ones we like, we really, really like.
And there would be a lot of crossover. And do you want to hear us talk about Ghostbusters for another 20 minutes? We could do a Ghostbusters episode. Have we?
Maybe.
Maybe when Answer the Call came out?
I don't know.
I don't know. So we thought we kind of have to do this a different way. The earliest movie that I have on my list is from 1979. So doing the quick math, that's a 40-year film career. And I have 35 movies that I listed. Now, that is not to say that I like all 35 movies, because I don't. Space Jam is 35. I do not like Space Jam, but 35 movies in 40 years. These are movies I'm at least seeing. The guy has been omnipresent my entire life watching movies, even longer than that.
We did do a Ghostbusters episode.
Okay.
July 13th of 2016.
For Answer the Call?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That does make a great amount of sense. I feel like there's a lot of Bill Murray movies that are on our lists that we would be beating a dead horse by continuing to talk about. However, I just went through his IMDb and I went to the most recent movie and I just started going, okay, do I like this more than that? I started with last year, Isle of Dogs. That was my first one. And I just kind of weeded it down until I had gone all the way back to 1979. There were a couple things that surprised me, things that were a little bit higher than I thought they would have been. Just for the sake of argument, Dave, run down your top 10. Just name your top 10.
Ghostbusters, Groundhog Day, What About Bob, Rushmore, Kingpin, Ghostbusters 2, Scrooged, Stripes, Lost in Translation, and The Jungle Book.
So that was obviously starting from 1 through 10.
Yes.
All right, my 1 through 10. Ghostbusters, Kingpin, Caddyshack, Rushmore, St. Vincent, The Jungle Book, Ed Wood, Zombieland, The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou, and Meatballs. So quite a bit of crossover.
But not as much as I would have expected.
No, but I think that's where the interest comes in on this guy. He plays very similar characters in a lot of movies, and that's sort of a detraction people make on his career. I don't think that necessarily, it doesn't take away from anything. But the movies, even if he's the same character, the movies are so vastly different that if
Groundhog Day is not What About Bob,
no,
is not Ghostbusters,
right,
is not Lost in Translation.
He's playing very similar characters in all those, but depending on your particular preference, you may like the Ghostbusters style better than you like the Rushmore style, and I can understand that, but he's kind of a constant throughout the whole thing. So in your top 10, were there any that kind of jumped out at you as like, holy shit, I would not have assumed this is one of my favorite Bill Murray movies?
No, because I probably could have rattled those off. The only thing that really surprised me is that like his big time ones from early, the Meatballs and Caddyshack, those aren't on there for me. I went to 15 and those are 13 and 14. But looking back, they mostly go with my life.
Okay.
Like Meatballs and Caddyshack, those were from 79 to 81. I was born in 79, so I'm not seeing them then. Stripes, I like a little bit more than those, so it did make the top 10. But really, Bill Murray launched to me with Ghostbusters. Five-year-old me adored that movie. I loved that movie. So that's up there at number one. And then most of my top 10 is from that late 80s, early 90s, because this is when, you know, me and my buddy Zane are going to see What About Bob. I went and saw Quick Change, which didn't look good, but it was Bill Murray. Ghostbusters 2, Scrooged. I went with my aunt and my brother, the two people that got me into movies the most. Groundhog Day, I saw more than once in the theater. These are 9 to probably 14-year-old Dave. So that is my prime Bill Murray era. It's late 80s, from probably 87 or 88 to 92 or 93. There's that six-year span with Groundhog Day, What About Bob, Quick Change, Scrooge, Ghostbusters 2, all right there. And then older me, you know, I liked, as he kind of went from leading man to in the late 90s, I like Space Jam. It was 12. He shows up as just a supporting role. Kingpin, it's not his movie, but he steals every scene he's in. Rushmore, not his movie. He steals every scene he's in. So he kind of went to that. And then I think the biggest thing that I noticed was like, adult me doesn't really like Bill Murray movies. Because from 2000 on, I have Lost in Translation and Jungle Book, which were 9 and 10, and St. Vincent, which is 11, which you could probably swap any of those three out with each other because they're all just like, I like those. But stuff like Life Aquatic, all his Wes Anderson stuff,
right.
Like I don't need.
Which
like,
I think is a symptom of you don't like those kind of movies. It's not that you necessarily don't like Bill Murray movies now. He's just doing a lot of Wes Anderson movies,
exactly,
which
and
you
I
don't care for.
I got tired of. Yeah. I mean, I love Rushmore. I love Bottle Rocket. I like Darjeeling. Beyond that, I'm over Wes Anderson movies, and that's a lot. And I feel like he's not just doing a lot of Wes Anderson movies. I feel like that's where he feels he is as an actor now, is those are the roles he plays and a lot of the movies he does. He does stuff like Broken Flowers, which is more dramatic. Like
right.
He's not doing the comedic stuff. Like Lost in Translation was not a comedy movie. He's not leading movies like Groundhog Day or like Scrooged or any of that. He's either showing up in like these quirky supporting roles, or he's trying to lead a drama, pretty much is where his phase is right now.
From an era standpoint, I'm pretty close to yours. The highest rated era, I guess I have, and I did it just by decades, was the 90s. In my top 10, I have 3 from the 90s. Kingpin from 96, Rushmore from 98, and Ed Wood from 94. Dave mentioned being 5 when Ghostbusters came out. I was born in 1984, so I didn't see Ghostbusters until probably 5 years later. And Caddyshack, I didn't see. That was 1980, and Meatballs from 1979, I didn't see. Those were ones, Caddyshack and Meatballs specifically, that I went back to see because as an adult, or as a young adult, I liked Bill Murray, so I wanted to go back and watch that. Stripes was my number 11. I had to go back to see that.
From that era, what I like about... I like Bill Murray as Bill Murray, essentially, and not as much as character. Like, Caddyshack, I don't like that Bill Murray. Like, even Meatballs to an extent. But Stripes, he's late 80s Bill Murray just a decade earlier. So, like, those movies I like, he's just... Groundhog Day, he's Bill Murray. What About Bob? He's Bill Murray with Neuroses. Quick Change, Scrooged. Those are Bill Murray movies. And he's not really playing character, a quirky character. He's just Bill Murray, and he lights up the screen.
The quirkiest of all the characters is Bigger and McCracken. When I think of quirky Bill Murray.
And I love that.
Yeah.
Like, that's like the only like character that I love of him.
I have that at my number 2. That was a little bit of a surprise for me. I do like Kingpin an awful lot, and I love Bill Murray in that movie. I thought it was going to be more of the... I guess the 80s stuff with Bill Murray just playing basically himself. But so the 90s was my favorite decade, I guess, of his. the 80s was my second favorite. I've got two in the top 10, and Stripes was my 11. The 2000s was my next favorite. It's more just because of the amount of movies, because I only have two in my top 10, and it's my 9 and 8, Life Aquatic and Zombieland. But I have two more recent ones, St. Vincent and the Jungle Book, which I like an awful lot more. Those are my 5 and 6. But outside of that, he's not done a lot in the past 10 years that I've really liked. I like Moonrise Kingdom an awful lot. That was 14. Isle of Dogs is 16. I liked that a lot too. But then those movies that he's doing now, Hyde Park on Hudson, did not care for. That's a drama. Monuments Men, didn't really care for that either. A Glimpse Inside the Mind of Charles Swan III. I don't know what that was, but a mess. And I did not care for the Ghostbusters movie at all. So I guess the recent Bill Murray stuff from me has either been really, really good or I just don't care for it, which I could almost have understood if the later his career gets, the less and less I like his stuff. But that really isn't true.
And here's
the highs are just as high, but the lows are really bad.
Well, and here's the thing is, I kind of wasn't fair from 2000 on because I like Get Smart. He shows up, not a big part. You know,
sure.
I liked Ghostbusters. I didn't count that as a Bill Murray movie. I guess I didn't count the stuff where it's like, yeah, he's in it, but it's not a Bill Murray movie. But even those, like, I didn't really, like, there's not a lot that I like.
Yeah, I mean, they're not. I have Wild
like
Things at 15.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not a Bill Murray movie.
No, I like Darjeeling.
Yes.
I don't remember him in it. He's not in it much.
Yeah, that's pretty low on my list. A lot of the movies, I mean, Get Smart is 19. I like it a lot. He's not in that a ton. It did seem like that kind of ironed itself out where the movies that he's not in an awful lot weren't really high on my list. I like Ghostbusters because of Bill Murray. I like Kingpin because of Bill Murray. Caddyshack, yeah, I guess it's Bill Murray there too. A lot of these movies, he is the reason, so it makes sense that those would be really, really high on the list.
Because I feel like Leading Man Bill Murray was kind of done in 97 with Man Who Knew Too Little. Because from there, it just seems like mostly, I mean, other than, you know, Life Aquatic and the Garfield movies.
Broken Flowers was in there.
Which was a small movie.
Yes.
You know, Lost in Translation, but
Hyde Park on Hudson, but it wasn't very good.
And it was smaller. Like, yeah. That was one of those where it's like, oh, this is Bill Murray's Oscar movie, and then it wasn't good, so it just kind of got buried.
But St. Vincent was Bill Murray's Oscar movie.
And I did like that,
and it was great.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, for the most part, Rushmore was 98. That technically is not a Bill Murray movie, but I would argue
it's like Kingpin.
Pretty close to Leading Man.
Yeah, it's like Kingpin, where it's maybe not a Bill Murray movie, but when you think of it, you think of Bill Murray. Because, you know, Kingpin is Jeff Daniels and Woody Harrelson.
Right.
But the highlights of that movie are all
bigger.
Are all Bill Murray.
Absolutely.
He's in it. He would probably be fourth or fifth lead considering, but every moment is his. Whereas in Rushmore, he'd probably, I mean, I think he's
second build,
but I would say third. I would put Olivia Williams above him as far as importance of the story. But I mean, he's co-lead essentially, but still it's a Jason Schwartzman, Wes Anderson movie. So I guess something about adult me doesn't like adult Bill Murray movie. And it's not like, oh, I was young and dumb, so that sense of humor.
Right.
No, these movies I still love. What about Bob? I adore that movie. I love that movie. Everything about that movie. Groundhog Day, Ghostbusters, Scrooged. I think of Scrooged all the time. We almost brought it up last week, I think, was our
TV movies.
Yeah, so I mean, Groundhog Day and Scrooged, I wanted to put on there, but I think I left them off because I knew we were doing this. And the movies I love so much, and I will love until I die. And I think I was just shocked that they're not as many as I thought, because I would say my top 7 are movies that, like, I love, love, love. And then from there, it's like, yeah, I like these movies.
I would say I got to go down. Maybe the tipping point for me is maybe it's number 15. Wild Things is great. I love that movie.
It's a good movie. I don't consider it a Bill Murray movie.
Great is a strong word. I like it a lot, but you're right. It's not a Bill Murray movie. He's not in the pool. Nobody thinks of Bill Murray when they think of Wild Things, and that is fair. But I really do like an awful lot, and I will sit down at any time and watch Groundhog Day. That's my number 12. That's the thing. Like, a lot of times, if we say this is our number 5, all right, well, that means that we don't like it. That's not true. And that's
sometimes
why
it is.
Well, that yeah, it's not always the case. On this list, it was going to be so hard to just do five movies because you're leaving off so many that are really, really good. I kind of agree with you that the movies that I like the most, we've hit on it a couple times, are movies that have a lot of Bill Murray in them. And I guess that's what I'm here for. I'm here for starring role Bill Murray. If he's in a movie, it'll probably make it better, especially if it's not good to begin with. A little bit of Bill Murray is a pretty good sweetener there. But that's why we don't necessarily like the newer stuff as much, because he doesn't, I don't think he wants to lead movies now. Like,
no.
He wants to show up for a couple days.
I feel like he barely wants to be in them.
Yeah.
Now.
He wants to go to the NCAA tournament, watch basketball, play golf.
Crash parties.
Right. And at this point, he has earned the ability to do that. Like, the dead don't die. By all intents and purposes, Adam Driver just crushes this movie, and everybody else is just kind of there, which is disappointing to me because I see what looks like Bill Murray in a pretty big role, and that's all I need to see, and it's going to get me in theaters because he's built that over 40 years where more often than not, I really do like his movies. I listed 35 movies in 40 years, a movie every year that I have seen and I have liked to some extent. I don't know of people that have had that long of a career and that thick of a catalog to get through.
It's hard to talk about Bill Murray without mentioning Harold Ramis.
Yeah.
Not just because he's Egon and Ghostbusters,
right.
But their careers up until pretty much Groundhog Day were so
intertwined.
Ramis wrote Meatballs, Caddyshack, Stripes, who co-starred with them, Ghostbusters, Groundhog Day. He wrote and directed that. So those are some of the best Bill Murray movies. Mm-hmm. When people rattle off their favorite Bill Murray movies, a lot of them are Harold Ramis related. So without that early run of Meatballs, Stripes, and Caddyshack, we may not have Ghostbusters. We may not get 90s Bill Murray, which we both love.
Yeah, you're 100% right. In 1979, I mean, that's the guy from Saturday Night Live. Obviously, he was the launch of that series, him and Dan Aykroyd, Chevy Chase, these guys. So they were the ones that set the path for guys like Mike Myers, Adam Sandler, guys that would come later and be big movie stars. But like you said, without the Harold Ramis stuff, maybe Bill Murray doesn't have a 40-year career. Ramis is a guy I don't think we've never done a list for. If we did, I do think it'd be very Bill Murray heavy, but he was one of the first guys I remember as a director when you start to notice like a pattern. Like, oh my God, as it turns out, I really like Harold Ramis movies. Ivan Reitman was one of the first directors I noticed because he directed Ghostbusters, which was my favorite movie, and Ramis as the writer. Okay, now I'm going to look at writing because of what I realized it did for that movie. And being a kid, like, you know, you only notice the guys that are in front of the camera. You don't really watch the credits. But I watched that movie so much that those were just named. It didn't hurt that Harold Ramis was also Egon, so he was in front of the camera. But those were moving letters up until Ghostbusters when I started noticing everything. And I would follow Ivan Reitman and his son now.
Daughter has a great show.
Right.
Working Moms is hilarious if you haven't watched it.
And Ramis was a guy that I would follow for the rest of his career. And a lot of that does, you know, go back to Ghostbusters, which, again, we've done an entire episode on. So this list, I think, was always going to be difficult for us because there was so much stuff. How do you get it all on there? And I was afraid that there might be more crossovers. Our sense of humor is similar. And we have talked about these movies enough to like, oh, I know he really likes Ghostbusters. I know he likes Kingpin. I know he likes Rushmore. I know he likes Ed Wood. Like, how do we do this in a way that it's not just, yeah, I like that movie too. But for me, it was interesting to look at it chronologically. I am a little surprised that every era is really represented in my top 10. It's the early era. It's the 90s, and then even the stuff in the last 20 years. There's been two movies a decade that I've really, really liked. I loved The Jungle Book, and I love St. Vincent. And that was surprising to me that they are right up there with Rushmore and Caddyshack.
And I mean, he just seems like a dude who doesn't really want to be in movies. I mean, like the story about Ghostbusters, where they had somebody cast as Martin Heiss for that day because they didn't know if he was going to show. So they went to the set that day to film that scene, not knowing if he was going to be there. So they had essentially an understudy to play it. Garfield, too, that he was there clearly for the contract, and they had to redo so much of the movie because he refused to do the script, and he was just ad-libbing animated stuff that was already animated. So, like, the rumor is that he doesn't have an agent.
That's how you get him cast.
He has a cell phone number that you call, and you leave a voicemail, and you pitch the movie. And if he's interested, he calls you back.
Or I don't even think he calls you back. He just shows up.
So, I mean, that's not a guy that's still trying to lead movies.
No, that's not how you make yourself available to be in movies. But then again, you know, the guy has earned it.
And he's still in movies. So I think that says a lot about who he is, that it's hard to get him in movies. He's still getting in movies.
With that being said, exactly. Like, he's still interested. Just looking at his career box office, what would you guess the lifetime total? 44 movies they have listed for Bill Murray. Lifetime box office total.
I mean, a lot of them are older ones. The bigger ones.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Half a billion?
Four times that.
Okay. $2 billion.
$2 billion.
I undershot it because I didn't want to overshoot it.
Yeah. He averages about $47 million. That's average.
In 40 years.
Yeah, over 40 years. So we are talking, you know, 1980 money. The Jungle Book is his biggest.
Oh, yeah, that makes
sense.
364. Yeah, that's going to inflate it.
Then Ghostbusters. Then Tootsie.
That's when I left off because
it's on my list.
I don't even remember him.
Not really. Not a Bill Murray.
It's been so long since I've seen it.
Yeah. Charlie's Angels at number 4. Also not a Bill Murray movie. He's in it.
He's really good in it. He's hilarious. It's a crap movie, but he's really good as Bosley. Yeah.
Ghostbusters 2 with $112 million. Space Jam at 90. Stripes at 85. Monuments Men at 78. That's a top 10 grossing Bill Murray movie, and I don't know anybody that likes it. Garfield at number 8. For 40 years to average damn near $50 million a movie.
I am sorry. I will say, A Tale of Two Kitties is a good subtitle for Garfield 2.
It is.
That's a good subtitle.
The best part of the movie.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen either one of them, so I can't really judge. But
it did make $3 million more dollars than Kingpin, so there's that too.
10 years later.
Granted, but I'm not sure that it's the difference between 96 and 06 dollars. I think it's just kids' movie and grossly underseen in 96 bowling movie. But this is one that I would be fascinated to know, like, folks that are maybe 10 years younger than us, like, what is your favorite Bill Murray movie? Because I know he's still, like, popular with
he's
the hipsters.
He's like this pop legend now. Yeah. Yeah, like, he's this pop culture legend that it's one of those where I don't know that those people have seen What About Bob or seen Scrooge.
Right, which, you know, begs the question then, okay, is it Rushmore? Is that the one for kids that are, you know, for people that are 10 years younger than us, is that the one that people glom onto? Because at that point, 10 years younger than me, they'd have been born in 94. So yeah, maybe Rushmore is like the earliest Bill Murray movie they remember. But I think everybody knows a Bill Murray movie, so that'd be an easy one.
Everybody loves a Bill Murray movie.
Sure. That would just be one that you know, a lot of times we would ask people for suggestions, and okay, maybe this weird genre, like, I don't really have an answer for you, but I think Bill Murray would be one that's easy for everybody to answer. And I could see, depending on your age, getting a lot of different answers. I think a lot of people our age, it's going to be Ghostbusters. Before that, maybe it is Stripes. After that, that's really what I'm interested in. Is it Rushmore? Is it...
I think Groundhog Day would be for a lot of people.
I suppose I could see that, yeah. Because
that movie still gets a lot of run.
I think there can be a lot of answers to this question.
And there's the Lost in Translation crowd.
For people that like an entire different subset of movies. But this one, I'm very interested in the amount of different answers that we could get. So if you feel like you would like to share with us your favorite Bill Murray movie, or even favorite Bill Murray era, we'd be interested in hearing about it. He is one of our favorite actors, if you haven't gleaned from this discussion yet. Next week, we'll be switching gears.
Less gleaning.
a little bit from an actor in Bill Murray that we really, really, really like to a movie that we don't particularly care for, from a series that we also don't particularly care for, Child's Play, the reboot, and Toy Story 4 will be in theaters next week. So it will be dominated by dolls. So we are taking a look at the previous entry in the Annabelle series, Annabelle colon creation. We are also getting an Annabelle sequel later on in the year.
Colin comes home. Yes. Again.
Which is a sequel. So we've gone original, prequel, and then sequel.
Like Indiana Jones.
Yeah. I guess try and follow that if you can. Don't particularly care for that movie as much as we like Bill Murray. So it might be a little bit less excited next week. But we do like the director a lot. So we'll talk a lot about him. That, of course, is David F. Sandberg. So hear us sing his praises next week. But until then,
keep it up.